Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We heard the passage from the ninth chapter of Hebrews as we hear about our Lord Jesus Christ as the high priest within the most holy place. For most, this is a passage that brings about a very picturesque sermon with anticipated outcomes and with heavenly language importing the old covenant imagery with the new. The old covenant that is fulfilled within the blood of the Lamb of the New Testament. It brings about the beautiful imagery of the sacrament, that is of our Christ, our high priest, who spills his blood as a perfect sacrifice in his most holy place once and for all. Eternal redemption and an eternal inheritance for all who are called to receive this most precious gift. Recall the hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." Christ, in fact, is the high priest. He comes as he stands and sits upon his own altar with all authority, that we may be certain of all which he gives and declares from his throne, that is, the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. It is within this authority that we have a certain comfort, a certain peace that transcends this life into this whole world and even our own selves. It is as the psalmist declares, "There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved." It is here that the high priest gives of himself in the most holy place, that we may be certain that he has come to us. It is not simply spoken in such vague terms that we wonder if in fact God does come to us. Has he really come to me? Do I really have that life? Do I really have that salvation in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, our Lord? But God chooses a place that we may be certain that life has come to us. Just as Luther had said, that God is everywhere, but he only reveals himself, namely give of himself in certain places. It is for our own assurance, for our own certainty of life in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we may be certain that God has come to us. The doctrine of the Trinity, again in early Christianity, was originally about knowing that God has come to us in his own divine economy, that we may know for certain that we have life and salvation. Scripture does not believe in some self-perceived existential notion of the forgiveness of sins. As we sit there and ponder our own faith, our own creation, our own making, introducing such questions to the quality of our faith, if we have enough faith to receive the forgiveness of sins and the like, Luther was very aware of this dangerous notion and says that even our own faith can become our own idol. It is you and not God that gets in the way of his mercy. But rather, the Holy Scripture speaks objectively, that is, the very place where Christ is given, that we may be certain of our own salvation in the person of Jesus Christ alone who comes to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son and continues to do so. And this is why, even within our own confessions, we confess the church not in vague terms, but where God comes through the pure preaching of the gospel and the right administration of the sacraments. So again, we hear Luther. He says that I know that I am Christian because I've received holy absolution. I have been baptized. I've received Christ's body and blood. There are in these things, he says, that I know that I am a Christian. It is a place where God promises to come. It is there where we may be certain that we have received Christ in his own body and blood for the remission of sins in his holy place. But the rub finds itself in the verse, "Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." Perhaps the great pending question is, now that the gospel has come to us, what do we do with it? It's free. I know my sins are forgiven. I have received Christ's body and blood, I received holy absolution, but yet I go back out into the world with all its challenges, its temptations, and all in which it's so willing to give. What do I do with something free? What do I do? Do I return to the old covenant, the law, in order to know that what I'm supposed to do? Do I hear the law that simply shows our sins and the gospel that says your sins are forgiven and then return to the law for some instruction of my daily life? To develop systems of rules for holy and successful living? What do we do with the gospel? Is a great question that persists within the Christian community. Christ has not come simply to give answers to our own problems. We'll find that even as we read the psalmists and their own struggles, they may not have an answer to their own problems. It's something that's quite interesting if you look at Asaph in Psalm 77 or in Psalm 73, and it goes on, that they're struggling with something. And within the psalm, there is no answer to their problem. But yet there is. And their answer is knowing God. Knowing God. Namely, in knowing Christ, who came to this world to give us life, but only to interpret this life and give its meaning, both in our relationship with God and in his atoning work, and also in love with one another. In other words, the life of in which we live daily, of that life which we have received in Christ, shapes our posture, not by defined by these things which are made by hands, not by this world, not by our circumstances in life, but it is Christ himself that gives meaning to what life is. Therefore, I may love you today, and I may hate you tomorrow. It's simply of my own making, and those feelings would die with me. And you can be thankful for that. But if I love you in Christ, this love is not found simply upon my own creation or my own feelings, but this love is one of eternal love. It is the eternal love which is founded upon the very person of Christ. Therefore, my life is shaped not by my own making, but that in which I have received the mercy, love, and forgiveness in which we offer in the name of Christ Jesus to all people. Therefore, my life has its meaning not in myself or this world, but in Christ who has come to me, who has shaped my life. This gives meaning, again, to what Luther had said. I'm trying to make Professor Misaki happy. What Luther has said, he says that we are a holy people, not by what we do, but what we have received in our lives that makes us holy. Therefore, making this passage centered in Christ, as we hear, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but thy name be glory because of thy mercy and because of thy truth. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.